And if you will, take your Bibles this morning and open up with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Since tomorrow is Veterans Day, I thought that it might be appropriate to tailor the message around this topic. Before we do that, though, a little bit of history seems to be in order, especially since it seems that many Americans, maybe most Americans, are confused by the various military holidays and what they mean, much less how to celebrate them. And when you listen to people talk, they get really confused about what they mean. So let's see if we can give some clarity to this. First of all, and it's unfortunate that this one gets totally blown right past, but Armed Forces Day is actually the first one on the calendar. Armed Forces Day is always the third Saturday of May. It was first observed on May the 20th, 1950, and this is the day to honor all who are currently serving in the five branches of our military. So Armed Forces Day honors those who currently serve. On Memorial Day, observed the last Monday of May, the true date and the place of origin for this is claimed by no less than 25 different individuals and people or groups all across this world, all of them actually happening in the 1860s. Somewhere in there, everybody wants to stake their claim that we got to be the first. And so I'm not going to enter into that fray. So it's been around since the 1860s. And the purpose of this holiday is to honor all of those who died while in service to our country. So Armed Forces Day celebrates all currently serving. Memorial Day, all who died in service to our country. And then Veterans Day, observed on November the 11th, and intending to honor all who have served and have been honorably discharged from the United States military. Major hostilities of World War I were formally ended the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, and Veterans Day, previously known as Armistice Day, was officially recognized by Congress in 1938. So tomorrow we celebrate Veterans Day. I'm especially happy to be able to tell you, at least in Bryan schools, I'm assuming other schools, but tomorrow, weather permitting, hate to say that, but weather permitting, they are going to be celebrating the veterans and having a Veterans Day program, and I hope the other school systems are doing that as well. So if the school systems are doing that in your area, please, veterans, attend. I don't know what the kids have in store for you, but they need to see you, and that is so important. It is great that the schools are honoring the veterans, but the veterans need to be seen by the kids. The kids need to know and see the people that they are honoring, to see the variety of ages that are there, so if at all possible, get to one of those services. So, since Veterans Day is the day to recognize all who have served, and since we are not having a program tomorrow, we're having church today. We are going to recognize our veterans this morning. So, as I name your branch of service where you served and you are a veteran of, if you would, please stand. And this first one, normally we don't do it in this order. There's a reason I'm doing this order. Would our Marines please stand? The reason I am honoring them and remain standing, the reason I honor them is because they have something else to celebrate today. What is that, Marines? 244 years old, the Marine Corps today. Actually begun a year before our nation was ever founded. So they get a happy birthday hoorah, right? There you go. All right. So let's then add to our Marines. Let's keep standing, Marines. Oh, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Let's add to them the Navy. Amen. Let's add to them the Army. And let's add to them our Air Force. And last but not least, any Coast Guard. Let's honor the Coast Guard anyway. Thank you. You can be seated. When I think about those who have served our country over the past, 244 years, prior to our nation becoming a nation, and the approximately 18 million veterans that are in the United States of America today, I see parallels between their service and the service that we have in our Christian lives and our Christian walk with the Lord. And these parallels are just, these are easy messages to preach because the parallels, it just preaches itself. It's just so easy and obvious. But it's things that I hope that we will consider and be reminded of and take action upon. First of all, concerning our military, when our military serve, they serve because there was a country in need. That's your first point this morning. If you're keeping notes, I hope that you will. There was a country in need. Whether that country was the United States of America or that country was the need of one of our allies, we saw the crisis and we responded by sending our troops, either by land, by air, or by sea. This need was seen perhaps at first by an ambassador to that country. It could have been seen by our Secretary of State. It could have been seen by the chairman of our Joint Chiefs of Staff. It could have been seen by the president of our nation. Who knows who saw the need first? But when the need was presented and our nation began to act, our nation sent its bravest and its best to fulfill the needs of not only our own nation, but other nations as well. When we consider our nation, the nation of America, the United States of America, we are a country in need today, perhaps maybe like at no other time in history. In Romans chapter 1, it shows us why we have this need. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." As we read through that lengthy passage of Scripture, notice the descriptions that are given. The Bible says that these people, this place, it says that God's truth is held down, it is hindered, it is restrained by unrighteousness. God is not being glorified, He's not being thanked for the blessings. Man has, his wisdom has usurped God's wisdom. Creation has been deified and made out to be a god. Homosexuality has become the new and accepted prevalent lifestyle. A host of other sins, ranging from deviant sexual sins to sins of lifestyle, which are greed and envy, sins against humanity, murder, deceit, gossip, slander, unmerciful lawbreakers, sins against parents, and if that's not enough sin, let's just invent some evil. And those people not only enjoy what they are doing, but they flock to others who are doing the exact same thing. What does God say He does in response to that? The Bible says His wrath is poured out. The Bible says that He has abandoned them, giving them up to their choices, to the decisions, and the consequences of the choices and decisions that they made. He has removed His restraining grace from their lives. He has allowed their minds to go into an irretrievable darkness. Folks, America is a country in need. Those things that are described here, do we not see those broadcast in our own nation? The sins that are discussed here in this passage, these sins pour out around us. They fill the pages of our newspapers, our magazines. They are broadcast across the screens of our televisions, across the big screens of the theaters. That which was once a shame to talk about is now open fodder for conversation in our nation today. And it is portrayed and displayed as if it is entertainment. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what the Scripture says here. In verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Folks, there's no secrets today. There's no secrets. There is no life behind closed doors kind of a thing, because everything is put out there on social media. Everything that goes through our hearts and our minds, we can't hardly wait to... or... because everybody's got to know. We are not ashamed of anything in our nation. We have glamorized and glorified the things that God says ought to be shameful. We are a nation in need. And it's a need that the United States military cannot meet. As wonderful and great as they are and the things that they have done since the inception and even before the inception of our country, this is a need that our military cannot take care of. Notice something else. Here's another parallel. Not only is there a nation in need, the second thing is there is a service to be rendered. There was a service to be rendered. When our military, whoever the powers that be, saw that there was a need, they knew that there was a service to be rendered. And when our military goes into action, there are several objectives. Sometimes all of the objectives are part of the plan. Sometimes maybe it's just one or two of these things. But there are objectives. Free captives. Take down totalitarian regimes. Establish democracy. Protect the innocent. Defend our freedoms, our lives, our borders here in our own nation. Secure peace. That's what our military, that's what these veterans, when they served, that's what our veterans did for us. Those are the services they provide. But not only for us, but they provided it for other nations, because when other nations were in need, they saw the United States of America as a place that they could call for help. And they saw us as people that would respond to their call for help. Well, folks, America is crying for help right now. There is a service to be rendered. Oh, I know what you're thinking. We need to tell more people about Jesus. We need to share the gospel. And yes, I mean, crying out loud, we talk about sharing the gospel all the time. We know that. But is that the greatest service that America needs at this second? And then maybe you're saying, yeah, is this a trick question? No, I'll show you why it's not a trick question. Go with me to Psalm 81. The greatest need that America has today, and yes, believe me, I put evangelism right up there at the very top. But before we can become effective evangelists, we have got to recognize something else. We have to recognize, why does America have the need that America has right now? It is not necessarily just because the gospel has not been preached like it ought to be preached. There is a greater need that America has at this moment. In Psalm chapter 81, verse 8, the psalmist says this, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, doesn't that sound like what we just read in Romans chapter 1? Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. You know, we sure do like to point fingers, don't we? Why is our nation in the mess that it's in today? And listen, if you're sitting here today and say, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think our nation's in a mess. Where have you been living? Our nation sure doesn't look like anything that the Bible says it ought to look like. And even if we were just talking about lost moral people, we don't even have that in majority today. So our nation is in a mess. Why? Well, it's very easy to blame those rotten heathen. I mean, look where those lost sinners have taken us. We're just being overrun by sinners and their heathen ways. It's easy to blame them. Or, you know, those lousy Republicans and their president. Oh, some of you are getting defensive. Well, okay, how about those lousy Democrats? You know, they're politicians. It's their fault. How about Hollywood? I mean, look at the filth that Hollywood pours out. It's their fault. It's California's fault. You say, well, yeah. I mean, they are the manufacturers. It seems that they are the purveyors of some of the most wretched stuff that comes across this nation. It seems like as the tides of the Pacific Ocean push against the shores of California, it just sends a wave of this stuff just rippling across our nation. And what the Pacific can't create, the Atlantic sure brings over from the East Coast. And so we've got the liberalism of the East Coast coming across with the filth of the West Coast. And guess where it ends up? Right here in Middle America. It's all their fault. It's the government-run educational system's fault and all the godless education that's put out there. Let's blame them. It's the fault of the ACLU, the Freedom From Religion people. It's their fault. It's the fault of the atheists and the agnostics and all their organizations. Would you look back at Psalm 81, verse 8, and the first four verses? Hear, O my people. God's people brought the enemy unto their land. God's people refused to drive the enemy out. Israel opened the doors for the heathen to have their way. And Christians, the church, the so-called Christians, we are to blame for the need of this nation. It's our fault. Oh, I know we don't like to hear that, especially on Sunday morning, because, oh, pastor, there's people that might not come back. Well, I'm sorry, if the truth hurts, nothing I can do about it. But if you're sitting here and you think that the lost world is going to provide the moral compass for this nation, wake up. It's not their job to do that, for starters, and it's something they can't do. If you think a lost world can direct in a godly way, where are you getting that from? It's not their job. A lost world is going to do what lost people do, which is exactly what we see happening. So it's not the lost world's fault. I have a dog. I fully expect my dog to bark. We have a cat, two cats outside. There are things I fully expect them cats to do. Number one, earn your keep. Get mice every once in a while. Let us see. Good cat. You did good. Keep you. I expect them to meow. Why? That's what cats do. Why do we expect the lost world to not do the things that the lost world are doing? Why do we expect it to be different? Christians, it's our job. The problem is that the Christians and the church haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing. Go to 2 Chronicles 7, and my guess is you know exactly which verse I'm going to. So as not to disappoint, let's look at that verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if, what's your next two words? It does not say if the heathen. It does not say if the lost. It does not say if Hollywood. It does not say if the Republicans, if the Democrat, if the government. It doesn't say if the government-run educational system. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What's the next phrase? You mean God's people can have wicked ways? Huh, yeah. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will do what? You see, the healing of the land, the healing of the nation, goes back to if my people will hear what God has to say. The healing of a land has nothing to do with the lost people. The healing of the land, the healing of a nation has to do with the church, with the Christians doing what they're supposed to do. Let's look at some other passages. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs 11, verse 10, the Bible says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. So, to get a city rejoicing, when it goeth well with the righteous, Bryan, Ohio rejoices. How's that just bringing it right down to where we live? When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Go to chapter 14, verse 34. Okay? Let's massage this a little bit. Righteousness exalteth the United States of America. But sin is a reproach to any people, including the citizens of the United States of America. Chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Let me ask you a question, because we have been fed some awful false beliefs through the years. Do these verses sound like church and state have been separated? Do these verses sound like they're kind of preaching a little bit of politics? When it talks about the righteous ruling, the righteous being involved like that, the righteous in charge, seems to me that what we've been taught through the years has been wrong. What we need to do is get the righteous involved in the running of this country. Starting with the righteous involved with your local township, your local school board, your local government. Then let's move that out to our countywide, and then let's move that out to statewide. We need to get Christians doing these things. And yet a lot of Christians say, oh, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't want that for nothing. You know, I'm a Christian. Christians don't have anything to do with politics. What Bible are you reading? Our nation is in the mess that it's in because the Christians haven't. That's why we're in our mess. And not just in the offices. The Christians aren't living the life like they ought to live. And so therefore, the need in America, there is a service to be rendered. Jesus wants the church to evangelize the lost, absolutely. But the Bible says the righteous, keeps using that phrase, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous. Christians, we can't live an unrighteous, unholy life and expect the lost world to listen to us. Instead, what they call us is hypocrites. Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what the lost world calls us. In 2007, Barna Group did a research project in which they asked non-Christian people why they reject Christianity. 85% said Christians are hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? They who say one thing and do something else. That's a hypocrite. And the lost world can spot and sniff out a hypocrite better than a Christian can. I had said that, said this many times. I'm not advocating University of Toledo by any stretch. That was a cesspool heathen mess. But I tell you what, it was easier to live as a Christian on that campus than it was in a totally Christian campus environment. You want to know why? Because the lost people could sniff out a hypocrite. And you're either going to live for Christ, you're going to live like one of us, but you aren't going to live that middle ground. And when you was in the Christian college, everybody wanted to do that. They want to live the middle ground. Let's only get as committed as we have to be to pass the class, to make this advisor, this dean, this person think that we're doing great, but then let's just kind of, you know, hey, we can coast. We're in a Christian, we're Christians, you know, so we can coast a little bit. And all I have to do is be better than you. That's all I have to do. I don't have to be better than or at the standard of the Lord. I just have to be better than you. That way I can throw you under the bus when the time comes, you know. That's all I have to be. And that's the way a lot of Christians live. You know, that's the way a lot of Christians live in the church. Because all I have to do is be better than you. And all you have to do is be better than me. Oh, standard met. I'm doing great. And the world says, hypocrite. Because they know exactly what the Christian life is supposed to be like. They don't want any part of it. I mean, why would they? It hasn't done a lot of good for a lot of the ones that say they've got it. So why would they want it? So that's why I say our need, this is perhaps the greater need than evangelism, because hypocrites don't evangelize well. Try as they might, they don't evangelize well. But those whose lives are radically changed by the grace of God and they're living a changed life, now they evangelize really well, because the lost world, and while they may not flock to the Lord in swarms, they still know, hey, that person's really different. There is something about their life that's really different, and I see that. The need, okay? This leads us to the next obvious point. If there is this need in America, there is a service to be rendered, well, then there is a position that has to be filled. We stand very grateful for those who served our country, who volunteered through these years to serve in our nation. We might be quick to point out that all who served did not volunteer. Some were drafted. And that is an accurate thing to say. However, I would say that even those who were drafted still volunteered for this reason. Any one of them could have found a way to get out of serving. They could have. They could have said, well, I'm a conscientious objector, even if they weren't. Conscientious objector. They could, in their heart, said, I'm a chicken, I'm scared, blah, 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 whatever. I'm a conscientious objector. And then threw out some sort of a religious ploy to keep them from serving. They could have deserted to another country. They could have faked injury or disability. They could have created injury or disability. They could have found some other way out of serving their country. But the vast majority of them didn't. And whether they walked into that recruitment office on their own or they were drafted and they showed up, in my book, they still volunteered because they could have found a way out. We wouldn't have respected them. We sure wouldn't have been honoring them today or tomorrow, actually. So all of those that did serve are well worth being honored. The truth of the matter is, though, volunteerism is dying in America. It's dying in America. In 2017, the Pentagon reported 71% of Americans aged 17 to 24 are ineligible to join the military because obesity, lack of a high school diploma, or a criminal record. The 29% who could make the cut are most likely to pursue other opportunities. So we don't have a slew of people volunteering to serve our nation. You know, we don't have a slew of people either volunteering to serve the Lord and to be involved in the Lord's work. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at a few passages here. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Luke 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are what? Few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. The Lord says there's a harvest, there's a work to be done. Few there be that'll volunteer to do it. In Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31, the passage reads, starting in verse 30, and I sought for a man among them. A man. It doesn't even say a troop. It doesn't say how many, just a single individual. I sought for a single man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, for the nation, for that country, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I sought for a man. I found none. I've been listening over the last, two, three, 4 weeks now, Pastor Philip DeCourcy, Knowing the Truth. And he's been preaching through the book of Titus. And I tell you, it seems like the last couple of weeks, he has really been pouring it on to the guys. Now, if you read the book of Titus, ladies don't skate in Titus, okay? But the section that I keep hearing is where he is really getting on to the guys. And he rightly points out how men have been called to lead within the home and the church. But men are, by and large, abdicating their roles of leadership. And you ask them to do something, and they won't step up to the plate to do the job. They've turned the leadership of the home, the church, essentially they've turned it over to the ladies. And ladies, scripturally speaking, that ain't your job. But there have been a lot of churches that have said, well, the men won't step up to the plate to do the job. We've got a job and the job needs done. I guess we'll just and do it in a way that's not God's way. And he has spent these last few weeks, and I mean, he has really, really chewed on guys. Guys, if you need a good chewing out, pull up knowthetruth.org and listen. And come under conviction. Because we are in an age where we need godly men to step up to the plate and be counted. To be the men that will stand in the gap. To be the men that says, I will serve. I will do. And ladies, don't feel left out. As I said, Titus addresses women as well. And the women, there is a heavy burden laid on the ladies in Titus. And ladies, one of the biggest burdens, and by the way, for our aged men and our aged women, and I'll let you decide if you fit into that category, Titus lays a heavy responsibility on your shoulders. You say, oh, I'm retired. That means I get to do what I want to do now, and I don't have to. I can just sit back and I can just coast into glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Draw my check that I have worked so hard for, and I can do nothing now. That may all sound well and good, but it's not biblical. It's not biblical. God has given a job to the aged men. God's given a job to the aged women. And I would dare say, those that are in the category of the aged men and the aged women, you like to tell everybody how bad the generation is that's coming up. Oh, they're just something else, aren't they? Oh, well, Myrtle, what do you think? Well, I don't know. What are we going to do? They're just terrible. Test. Okay. I say this as lovingly and as kindly as I can. You're the problem, not them. I know, I just sent a shudder right up your spine, didn't we? You're the problem, not them. You want to know why? Because you're not doing your job. Because the aged men and the aged women are supposed to teach the younger men and the younger women what to do. And you say, well, they're just not doing it. Have you taught them? Well, that ought to be the job of their moms and their dads. That's not what I asked. You're older than their moms and dads, so what you flapping your gums about? Put your teeth in, and let's get to chewing. Get busy. Because you've got a job to do. And you see, we can just continue to trace this all back to the church. America's in the mess that it's in because you don't have people stepping up to the plate to do the job that they're supposed to do. They're retiring not just from their secular job, but they're retiring from the Lord's work. And then the generation coming up is a train wreck. By and large, a train wreck. And the generation coming up is like any other generation. They won't listen to their parents. But they'll listen to grandparents. Ain't that something? You can say it all day long. Let a grandma or grandpa-ish kind of character say it. And they'll act like, oh, I've never heard that before. Isn't that the greatest thing you ever heard? And the parents are like ready to scream. It's like, oh, we've been saying this all along. Yeah, but the grandparents said that oh, they love me. They love me. As if to say, moms and dads, you don't love your kids, but the grandparents just love them to death. Okay, warp thinking? Sure. Did we have warp thinking? More than likely. So we're just watching generation of warp thinking, producing generation of warp thinking. What do we expect? That's why the aged have a job to do. It's about time we step up to the plate and do it. Now, go to Romans chapter 12. Let me finish out with this last point. A nation is in need. There's no doubt about that. A country desperately, there is a service that needs to be rendered to this nation. The positions need to be filled. Why is it that a lot of people don't want to fill those positions? The last point is this. There was a sacrifice to be offered. There was a sacrifice to be offered. A moment ago, we recognized our veterans. The phrase goes like this. All gave some, but some gave all. And we think of the sacrifice of our veterans. But I want to do something just a little bit differently this morning. All of you who were a spouse to a person who served, while they were in service, you were actually a spouse to them. Would you please stand? And stay standing. Join with them, all of you who grew up and you were the military brat. In other words, you were a child to those who served. Some of you had to think that through. Okay. And now, all of you who were a parent who sent a child off to the military, would you please stand? This is a different group. This is a forgotten group. This is a group that sacrificed too. This group sacrificed just like the veterans we recognized a moment ago. Can we honor them? Come on. Can you see them? Thank you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Christians, to give our nation what our nation needs is going to require sacrifice on our part. To give our church what our church needs is going to require sacrifice on our parts. The question is, will we sacrifice? In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this great vision, and we know how that vision takes place. And the Lord is looking for someone who will serve, and Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Ezekiel, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I couldn't find anybody. Therefore, this happens to the land." Isaiah, "I'll be that man. I'll stand in that gap." Folks, we need gap standers this morning. Our nation needs it. Our church needs it. Our homes need it. Our schools need it. Our communities need it. We need gap standers. Will you be one of those gap standers today? Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So, this final point about sacrifice, let's talk about that. To be a lost person requires no sacrifice. In fact, it requires nothing. You came into this world as a lost sinner. You came into this world headed to an eternity in hell. You came into this world a condemned soul because you came into this world with a sin nature. But a sacrifice was necessary to redeem that soul. And that sacrifice was Jesus. One God-man. 100% God, 100% man. 100% sinless God-man. The sacrifice of one who willingly said, in a sense, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And so His Heavenly Father sent Him to the cross. And Jesus came to that cross. Died for your sins, died for my sins. And was buried in the tomb. The Bible says that He rose again the third day as exactly as He said He would. And that all who would believe should not perish but have everlasting life. Lost person, that was a sacrifice that was made for you. For me. Lost person, why are you turning your back on Jesus? Why are you turning your back on the one who sacrificed everything for you? You know me. And you know it riles me up when our nation is disrespected, when our flag is disrespected, when our veterans are disrespected, when you have a Memorial Day service and the turnout is not what I think it ought to be. What I think it ought to be is 100% of the community, and that every store that is around ought to be shut down, and that people ought to be there. And if the people aren't going to be there, well, I'm not going to give them the convenience of the store. It fires me up. Seeing people kneel at the flag, when the flag goes up and the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem is played and they kneel for the flag, when hats are left on, when hands are not put across the heart for the national anthem, you know that fires me up bad. How much worse is it for people to reject what Jesus Christ did for them on Calvary's cross? And how ridiculous is it for them to think that one day that God's just going to shrug His shoulders and say, come in heaven anyway. You were good enough. You make the cut. That don't even make sense. Lost person today, you need to trust Christ as Savior. But if you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, guess what? That's not my fault. That isn't the fault of anybody sitting here today. It's your fault. It certainly isn't God's fault. He gave you an opportunity. You rejected it. And if you should die without making that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell with nobody to blame but yourself. Oh, lost person, that's not what God wants for you. That is the truth of what will happen, but that's not what God wants for you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's His desire. He wants that for you today, lost person. Sacrifice was for you. Will you come humbly to Jesus today and receive that gift of grace by faith? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank You so much for our veterans. And Lord, it is a joy, it is a pleasure to honor them, to recognize them, but not just the veterans, but all the other ones who sacrificed. We thank You, Lord, for the commitment to country. Lord, there's a greater gift that we have been given, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus. And we are asking today, Lord, if there is one without Christ as Savior, you've been working on that heart. We don't know who that person is. But even now, Lord, may that lost soul call upon the name of Christ to be saved. May we have the privilege to open God's Word and lead somebody to You today, Lord. However You might be working in our hearts, the invitation time, Lord, is always Yours. The decisions are between You and the individual. We just pray that we might see the fruit of Your labors today, that we might be able to rejoice in what God has done. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name.